Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Amen. I'm Pastor Mike, one of the pastoral team. I'll be staying. I'm the one that got left behind. But we're so happy for Pastor Ray and Angela. They're such wonderful people, and it's bittersweet. I'm saddened, but also excited for them, because I know that wherever they go, God is going to do amazing things in their lives. Amen? I believe that when they bring the gospel to the area of Brockton, that the word of God is going to prevail and is going to succeed in that area. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get right into the word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do, as always. We acknowledge you, Lord God, because you're a wonderful God. You love us, Lord God, and you look after us. You take care of us, Lord God, and we so appreciate you. And we thank you, Father God, for being present in this place. There was such a sweet presence in this room. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, for what he's about to do today, Lord, as he brings forth your word this morning into the hearts of your people. And Lord, we just thank you and we honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to try to get as much of this out with the time that we have remaining. But let me start off with this. There was a man who once struggled for years with addiction and guilt. And he fell into this deep sense of hopelessness because he felt that his struggles will be with him always, that he will never get rid of those struggles, that it'll always be a part of his life. And so then one day he was sitting in a church and he looked up and he saw a cross that was mounted on the wall. And as he looked at the cross, he realized something powerful. He realized that if Jesus died to set me free, then I don't have to be chained anymore. And so that realization gave him victory where there was once defeat. It gave him hope where there was once no hope. And so from that day, he started each morning by saying these words, "The cross broke my chains." Amen. Can you say that with me this morning? The cross broke my chains. Can you say that again? The cross broke my chains. So the cross is not just only about the forgiveness of sin in the past, but it's also freedom from sin's power today. Because it breaks every chain that tries to hold us down. Amen? And so whenever guilt, condemnation, or shame arises, all we need to do is point back to the cross and say, "It is finished."
It is finished.
Amen. Say that with me. It is finished. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the cross and how the power affects our everyday life. You know, when people look at the cross, they see it as a symbol of a wall covering, a decoration, or a jewelry that goes around their neck. Some see the cross as a symbol of the past, something that happened 2,000 years ago. But the cross is more than a wall covering, a wall decoration. It's more than a jewelry. It's more than a historical event. What it is a daily source of power for the believers. And this morning we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at how it affects our lives. So what we the part about the cross is that it gives us strength for weakness. It gives us victory over sin every single day. And it gives us peace in the midst of chaos. That's what the cross does. And it's a reality for everyday living. Because it changes how we think, how we live, and how we act. When we talk about the cross, it is the very heart of the Christian faith. And it's also one of the things where the Apostle Paul, he believed that the message of the gospel is all about the power of the cross. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 18 with me. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, if there was anyone who understood the power of the cross, it would be Paul. Even when he was totally against the cross, the message of the cross from the beginning. But one day, something changed in his life. And he went from being a persecutor of the cross to the preacher of the cross. Amen. That's why he was able to say in Romans 1 and verse 16, if you go there with me, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The cross is also the fulfillment of prophecy. The cross was God's ultimate plan to save the entire world, which means that the crucifixion of Jesus was in a tragic accident. But it was the plan of God that was planned all along. Go with me to 1 Peter. Look at chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The next verse. God chose him as your ransom long before what? The world began, but now in these last days he has been revealed for your sake. So Jesus' death on the cross was something planned out way before God, way before the foundation of the world, way before God even thought about creating the heavens and the earth. But it was all part of God's plan. And Jesus' death on the cross had been prophesied and accurately predicted all throughout the gospel. I mean, all throughout the Old Testament. For instance, Psalm 22. Look at verse 1. It says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? These were the words of Jesus who cried out when he was hanging on a cross, dying. It was in that kind of verse. That verse was fulfilled over in Matthew chapter 27 in verse 46. It was a fulfillment of God's plan. If you look down in verse 16 of that same chapter, it says this, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet. Who do you suppose they were talking about? It was Jesus. It was a direct reference to Jesus being nailed to the cross. My point here is this. The cross was not God's plan B. It was his plan all along. Something else to know about the message of the cross. It reveals the seriousness of our sins. Go with me to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 23 with me. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The cross reminds us that sin is not a minor mistake. It was a serious, serious issue. An example of Adam and Eve, when you think about Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, it was considered a rebellion. And how God dealt with that was by casting both Adam and Eve out of the garden and away from his presence, showing you the seriousness of sin. Now, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul says that through one man, which was Adam, sin entered into the world along with death, and it came unto all men, for all have sinned. He also said that through the disobedience of one man, which is who? Adam. Everyone was made a sinner. So we can clearly see the seriousness of sin, because it didn't just affect Adam and Eve. It infected the entire human race. It affected everyone that was born into this world. Even the cross, Jesus hanging there and suffering, shows us the seriousness of the cross, of our sins. When we sin, it confirms our status as sinners, and which means that it cuts us off from God and from his very presence. Sin leads to spiritual death, which is a permanent and eternal separation from God. Now, when I say permanent, I'm talking for good. I'm talking for always. I'm talking forever. I'm talking about being in a place that is unchangeable and irreversible. Can you understand the seriousness of sin? Sin disqualifies us from living with God for all eternity. When a doctor prescribes radical treatment, it's only when the disease is deadly. The cross is God's radical cure to deal with man's deadly condition. And even though sin is deadly, sins can be forgiven. Hallelujah. Something about the power of the cross, it changes everything. Before the cross, we were chained, we were condemned, we were guilty, we were a mess, we were hopeless, and we were powerless. But since the cross, everything changed. For example, our relationship with God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 13. Pastor Chris touched on this a little bit this morning. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Before the cross, all humanity was separated from God. Separated because of sin. We were spiritually distant and had no way to get to God, even if we wanted to. But I'll tell you what. At the cross, Jesus took away our sins, cleansed us, and paid the penalty for our sins. And at that point, everything changed. Everything has changed. Now we have access to God. Picture a huge gap between two cliffs. You have humanity on one side, and you have God on the other. The cross became that bridge that allowed us to cross over to where God is so that reconciliation can be made possible. Hallelujah. So that veil that once separated us from the presence of God had been torn down. Now we have access to open fellowship and relationship with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 19 with me. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them, and he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. And the reason why reconciliation was made possible was because there was no more sin for God to hold against us. Because Jesus took those sins away from us, making it possible for us to be reconciled and have relationship. The cross also changed our identity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. Before the cross, you and I, our old identity was shaped by sin, by shame, by guilt, by weakness, and by failure. But since the cross broke the power of the old identity. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 6. It says that we know that our old sinful selves, which is our old identity, was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. So when the old identity was crucified, Paul says that everything from that point changed. All things have become new. Paul talks about his new identity in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Listen to what he says. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. So Paul here starts out with these words, I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. Of course, he was referring to his old self. That means that the self-centered Jewish Pharisee, Christian persecutor, Christian hating, violent and evil Saul no longer lives. That old identity had been broken by the cross and was crucified at the cross with Jesus. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 24. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Think about this. Your selfishness, your self-centeredness, your arrogance, your pride, your sexual sins, your addiction, all of these things, all of the passions and all of the desires of the human flesh had been nailed and crucified at the cross. That's what the cross does. It changes things. And the Bible says in Romans 6:6 that we are no longer slaves to it because we have a new identity. The power of the cross broke the power of the old identity. So at the cross, we receive forgiveness, reconciliation, as well as identity, a new identity. Hallelujah. And part of our new identity are as sons and daughters of the Lord. The Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. So that means that our worth and value comes from who we belong to, not what we've done. The power of the cross also changes the power over sin. Go back to Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 14 with me. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And we read earlier in Romans 6:6 that we are no longer slaves to sin. Why? Because every sin was nailed to the cross. It's like a prisoner whose chain was broken. And even though he's still standing in a cell, the prison doors are open and freedom is made available to him. So all that's left for him to do is simply walk out of the cell and enjoy his newfound freedom. What the cross did was break our old identity by the blood of Jesus and open the doors for us. So now we have this freedom. Now we have the ability to walk out and enjoy this newfound freedom because of the power of the cross. However, there are many Christians today that still act like prisoners. Even though their chains have been broken, even though the doors have been opened, yet they still think and act like a prisoner. That should not be at all. When we understand what the power of the cross did, setting us free, breaking the chains of our lives, we should be walking in freedom. But sin may still be knocking at your door. But because of the cross, sin no longer has rule or the keys to your life. Sin may still tempt us, but it no longer owns us because of the cross. The cross broke my chains. Say that with me. The cross broke my chains. The cross also changed our destiny. Look at John 3:16. Where Jesus says, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have eternal life. That means if you're a believer, your future is secure. Death is no longer the end, because death was crushed at the cross. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 55 with me. And when you read verse 55, it's almost like Paul was taunting death, like he was talking smack. He says this. Listen to what he says. He said, "Oh death, where is your victory?" Like an attitude, you know. "Oh death, where is your sting?" In verse 56, "For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power." Verse 57, "But thanks be to God. He gives us a victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:14 says this, "Only by dying could he," meaning Jesus, "break the power of the devil, who had the power of death." That word "had" is a very important word because it implies that the devil no longer has power over death. Hallelujah. Because the cross stripped death of its finality. And now as believers, we have this hope of the resurrection that leads to eternal life. Glory be to God. The cross also changed our mission. Because of the cross, our whole purpose changed. We no longer live for ourselves anymore. And that's because our purpose has shifted from a self-centered living to Christ-centered living. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 15. It says, "He died for everyone," which is at the cross, "so that those who receive his new life," which is our new identity, "will no longer," what? "Live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them." And there are many other changes that we can talk about. But with the time that we have remaining, I want to look at the daily effect of the cross. So let's look at that. One of the things that we need to understand about the cross is that it empowers us every day to overcome sin and temptation. See, the power of the cross is just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. And what it does, it just shapes our everyday living. It changes how we think. It changes how we act. It changes how we live. So the cross is so powerful that it empowers us to overcome whatever temptations come our way, so that we can live victorious lives. And then you wonder, well, is that possible? Absolutely. Because the cross, the power of the cross, allows us to have that to happen to us. Listen, every home has electricity all throughout the house. But if you don't flip the switch, then you have power unused. The cross is the source of power. Our faith is the switch that turns it on. So when temptation comes knocking at your door, then you look to the cross, which is where the power source is. And then you declare these words by faith: "The cross broke the chains." Whenever you're facing temptation, just say this: "The cross broke my chain. I don't have to give in to that temptation. I'm no longer a slave to that temptation, because the cross broke the chain." Look at Romans chapter 6 with me. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version, verse 6, which I read earlier. It says, "We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed and crucified to the cross with him, in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, so that we may no longer be slaves to sin." Verse 7. "For the person who has died with Christ," how many of you here died with Christ? It says, "you've been freed from the power of sin." So whenever you face temptation, and you may face it the moment you walk out the door, you might even be facing it right now where you're sitting in your chair, but you remind the devil and remind yourself that the power of the cross broke the chain. And that temptation cannot overrule you.
Amen. Yes.
So when temptation tempts, the cross gives us the strength to say no. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says that only by the grace of God Can we resist? Can we deny or say no to God, ungodliness and worldly lust? It is by the grace of God. So as Christians, we still have the capacity to sin. But every day when we're tempted of sin, the cross reminds us that the chains of our sin has already been broken. Hallelujah. The cross also gives us forgiveness and helps us to forgive others. There was this boy who asked his father why he always says, or why they're always talking about the blood of Jesus. And so the father really wanted his son to understand the significance of the blood. So instead of taking the time to explain it to him, he went and got a white cloth, a bucket of red dye, and a bucket of bleach. Then he took that white cloth and he dipped it in the red dye and he pulled it out and it was completely red. Then he took that same red cloth, dipped it in the bleach, pulled it out. The red dye had disappeared. And then he turns to his son and says, "Son, that's what the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses completely." Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Because the cross is the ultimate expression of forgiveness. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with his blood, or with the blood of his son, and forgave our sins. Every day we stand forgiven because of the blood and because of the cross. So whenever guilt rises up, whenever condemnation tries to come on you, remind yourself that the cross has forgiven me. And so, and I know that there are many Christians today that beat themselves up with condemnation and guilt because of their past sins. But you know what? You don't have to do that anymore. The cross settled that. You've been forgiven and you stand forgiven. Look at Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, "For everyone who has sinned, we all fall short of the glorious standard of God." Verse 34. "Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins." And I think the one thing that I need you to understand is that by his grace, he freely made us right. When we were once wrong, we're no longer there anymore. We are right in the eyes of God. It's like a judge who declares a defendant not guilty, and all of the charges that was against him had been removed from his record. So legally, it's as if he was never accused. When God forgives, he also completely wipes our record. So from God's perspective, it's as if we had never sinned. Can you get that? Can you get that? We should begin each day reminding ourselves that we have been forgiven because the cross broke the chains. He made us right with God, reconciled us, and before God, we stand innocent and not guilty. Amen. Hallelujah. But the cross also teaches us to forgive others. When Jesus set that example. Now, what the cross does, it enables us to forgive others because of the fact that we have been forgiven. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard to do. Now, there may be some of you here this morning, some of you who are watching by live stream, that may be struggling with this. Maybe you're having a hard time forgiving someone. Maybe you've tried and still fallen short. But can I ask you this? Was it difficult for Jesus to forgive us? Because the Bible says that he had to endure the cross, suffer on the cross, shed his blood, and felt the agony of his death to forgive us of our sins. So, if we know that he has suffered on the cross for us, so that we may be forgiven, How difficult can it be for us? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 32. It said, instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted. Forgive one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Because we've been forgiven, we are to extend the same forgiveness to others. When we hold grudges, when we hold animosity, ill feelings towards others, then we've forgotten the grace that was extended to us. But let's remind ourselves that at the cross, God has forgiven us and he suffered for it. So we are to also forgive others. And the power of the cross will give us the grace to forgive us, releasing us from any animosity or bitterness that is in our hearts. The cross also calls us or assures us every day of his love for us. Even in moments of failure, how many have ever failed before? We all have. But even in those moments, the cross is a constant reminder that God still loves us and that his love is unchanging. Look at Romans 5 and verse 8. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. So every morning the cross reminds us, I am loved by God, but not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. So that means that God's love for us is secure. It was Paul's prayer that we come to understand how deeply God loves us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Hallelujah. And I believe that God demonstrates his love, the depth of his love, every day towards us. The cross calls us also to a sacrificial lifestyle of love. Note how I said that. I didn't say that God calls us to love others. I said that God has called us to a sacrificial lifestyle of love. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Paul says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a what? A sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma of God. So Jesus' selfless sacrifice calls all believers to love others in the same way that he loved us. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 13 and verse 34. He says, so now I am going to give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So Jesus here gives us a blueprint on how we're to love each other. He says, just as I loved you, you're also to love each other. But the scripture also tells us that his love for us is not limited to his people, but to the world. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That means we're to love all the enemies of the world, all of the nosy neighbors of the world, all of our backbiting relatives of the world, all of our angry bosses of the world, all of our irritating spouses of the world. Listen to what Matthew says in chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Then he tells us how to do that. Bless them, even when they're cursing at you. He said to do good for them, even when they despise you, and to pray for them, even when they plotting against you and just using you and persecuting you. Now, this may be difficult for many of us, because if I was to ask each one of you, How easy it is to forgive that certain someone that you don't necessarily like. And you'll probably be honest and say, well, I don't like that person. I have a hard time dealing with that person. I don't even want to talk to that person. And you may not have to talk to that person, but that doesn't mean you cannot love him. Because that's what God calls us to live. It is a sacrificial lifestyle of love. It means sacrificing our own feelings to be able to extend that love towards others. The power of the cross will enable us to love others sacrificially and unconditionally. The cross also gives us daily strength from the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 9 with me. It says, each time he said, my grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. See, the cross reminds us that we're not alone in our weakness. Everyone experiences weaknesses, whether spiritually, mentally, physically, or emotionally. The world will tell you to be strong. Hang in there. Hang tough. Don't quit. Don't give up. Suck it up. But they're telling us to do that in our own strength and in our own wisdom. But God is calling us to do so in his strength. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Because the cross reminds us that real strength is found in Christ's sacrifice. In verse 15 it says, this high priest of ours understands our weakness. For he faced all of the same testings or temptations that we do, yet he did not sin. Because Jesus experienced weakness, pain, and suffering at the cross, he understands or sympathizes with our struggles that we deal with every day of our lives. Just like the story of a man who was battling an illness and he felt alone until he met someone who dealt with the same illness that he did and survived. Now suddenly this man was encouraged. He was comforted. Why? Because someone understands. He met someone who knew his pain. He met somebody that understood the frustration and the fear that come with dealing with this illness. And so he felt like he was not alone. He sympathized. He found somebody that can sympathize with him. If a male doctor will tell a woman who's about to give birth, I know what you're going through. Well, he's lying. There's no possible way that he can know what this woman is going through when she's giving birth to a child. Now, he may understand medically, but there's no way that he can understand what it means or what it feels like to give birth. How many men understand that? So you do understand what it means to give birth, huh? Okay. Then you're lying. However, if a woman doctor who's a mother herself says to the woman who's giving birth, I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. I know what it feels like when the baby's taking too long to come out of the birth canal. I know what it's like to be frustrated with your husband in that moment. I feel your pain. Well, see, that woman knows what she's talking about. She can sympathize with that woman because she understands. So that woman giving birth is not alone, because she has someone who sympathizes with her and who understands what she's going through. Let me close with this. The cross reminds us that when we suffer, when we struggle, when we're dealing with pain and aggravation and frustration, the cross reminds us that our suffering is only temporary, but victory is sure. When we face things in life, we can look to the cross and know that suffering, that pain, that struggle doesn't have the last word. However, victory from the cross does. So if you're struggling with addiction, look to the cross. If you question whether God loves you, look to the cross. If you're overwhelmed by sin, look to the cross. If you feel like you're struggling with forgiving others, look to the cross. And if you doubt whether God loves you and cares about you, then look to the cross. Because the cross is not just what saved us. It sustains us on a daily basis. Amen. Could we all stand as Priscilla comes up? As Priscilla comes up and is about to sing this very special song, I want you to know that the altar is open for anyone who wants to come up and maybe go to the cross and look to the cross and be reminded of what Jesus did. Maybe you need to remind yourself each day that the cross broke your chains. So, as she's about to sing the song, come on up. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, then do this. Come up, and there'll be someone here to pray with you, and they'll lead you to the cross. Those of you who are watching by live stream, wherever you're sitting, you too can also create your own altar and come to the cross. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're struggling with, know that the cross broke those chains. Come to Him. Acknowledge Him. Come to the cross this morning. Amen. Amen. Priscilla?
Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to Faith Christian Center. We're so glad you could join us this Sunday morning and listen to Pastor Mike's great message this morning about the cross and what it's done for us. I'm here today with my good friend, Sherry.
Hi.
And we are happy to greet you. Thanks for joining us.
Amen. There were so many pearls in Pastor's message today. I mean, yeah. My notes are like overflowing, but I'm going to keep it brief. The very first thing I wrote down was, the cross broke my chains. Mm. It is finished. The cross is the bridge between us and the presence of God. Now we have access to open fellowship with God. What an amazing, oh my gosh. Amen. I mean, I can go on for hours about that, but really, I wrote down Romans 6:14 for myself and for someone out there that's watching. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. And I want you to change those yous to me and I, and recite this over yourself all week. For sin shall not have dominion over me, for I am not under the law, but I am under grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is so good, because a cross, it's for everyone, but it's also personal. And Sherry just made it very personal. You know, recite that. Say it to yourself this week, you know, because that freedom that came through the cross is for you, Amen. For me, for Sherry. It's for all of us. You know, and she's right. There were so many nuggets in today's message. And I like to take notes, and I was just scribbling the notes. And I thought, no, I can't say all that. That's too much to say. But, you know, when the cross, when it, she said it broke our chains, and it brought forgiveness of sins in the past, but it brings freedom in the present and in the future. And because, like Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Amen.
Those old sins and that trying to be good enough to receive from Him, or good enough to get to heaven or to walk with God, that's all done. He did that. He was good enough. We never could have cleaned ourselves up to be good enough for that. He did it for us.
Amen.
What a precious gift. And, you know, that cross is a daily source of power for us. Mm-hmm. And I will not read you all my notes, because we'd be here for a while. But, you know, what I loved was Pastor Mike said the cross was God's radical cure to deliver us. Before the cross, We were chained and powerless. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. We were powerless to sin. After the cross, we were reconciled to God. And I've always loved this definition. Reconciliation means a restoration of a friendship or a fellowship after estrangement.
Amen.
You know, he did that for us, to restore us to God. And if you were the only person in the universe that needed that blood, that sacrifice of Jesus, so you could be reconciled to God, he would have come and done it just for you.
God
established that plan before the foundation of the earth. We are so blessed.
Amen. 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 Yeah. And we are so glad that you were able to join us today.
Yeah.
We would love to see you in person on Wednesdays at 7:30 or Sunday mornings at 9:30. We're at 95 Sagamore Road in Seekonk, Massachusetts.
Amen.
There's also a number down below. If you need prayer, if you want to reach out, please just text us. It was
yes.
so nice seeing you virtually, and we hope we can see you in person and love and hug on you. Amen.
Amen. It would be so nice to have you come in if you can. But if you can't, remember, we're praying for you. We love you. Faith Christian Center is a church that love is building. So we're loving on you, whether you're watching online or you're here. So God bless you. God keep you. Have a wonderful week. We love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.